Hi, the Shira Zilin Nishmas, my mother, Leah Shalom, with the Faiga Bas Sviari tonight's the Yortzeit. So I moved the Shira from last night to tonight. This way it would be on the Yortzeit. Also, I said a Shira for the men yesterday. I wanted to have a break. Rebbe to Sima Ben Eder later to have a chance to have a break. I think it's 10 years since her Patira. I also want to announce that Bez Hashem, next year will be January 29th. Which is a Tuesday night, and the topic is halachas of lashon hara for shidduchim purposes, and it's being sponsored together with the Shidduch Initiative of Greater Washington. So, Bez Hashem, that will be in about a month. Do the math, whatever that is. Okay. For those of you who remember, I gave this year 6 years ago. So we're going to test you on it. For those of you who are here. So if something along the line sounds familiar, it's probably because I said it 6 years ago. I do one last announcement. If you want to hear the shear, you can get the shear backwards back on 515-604-9878. 515-604-9878. And you put in... The access code is 150016, and then you pick the option of the reference number of the shear, which I'm assuming is going to be, last year was number 2, I assume this year will be number 3. And number 1 is one of my wife's shiurim, so you can listen to that also if you want. Okay. 150016.
The code, the phone number again, 515-604.
515-604-9878 is the phone number. And 150016 is the access code, and then pound. Okay, so there's a mitzvah of the Torah to be mafresh challah. The Torah says this. The Torah gives us a few criteria what the definition is. The mitzvah which we have nowadays is not the raisa because we do not meet the criteria which the Torah gives us. It's only a mitzvah of the rabbanon. A, that it has one level of Durbanon in Eretz Yisrael, and B, we have one level of Durbanon in Chutz Loretz. We're in Chutz Loretz, so we're going to focus basically on the lachas. We'll point out the differences between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Loretz. We're focusing on the lachas of Hafrashas Chal and Chutz Loretz. There are some greater leniencies in Chutz Loretz than there are in Eretz Yisrael. Why is it that we do not have the mitzvah deraisa of Chal anymore? It has to be in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah Chal deraisa is only in Eretz Yisrael. A. B, it has to be that the majority of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, which we don't have that anymore. Rov of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have that. Already in Bayis Sheni, they didn't have Rov of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So they made it to Kanadar Abundant to have a mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael, and then they made a mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah in Chutz Loretz. Like a Durbanon for a Durbanon to sort of like back up the we shouldn't forget the concept of Challah. You live in Chutz Loretz for generations. We're going to forget the concept. We're going to forget Chas V'Shalom the concept of Challah. So they made a mitzvah to be Mechayev us in the mitzvah of Challah. Okay, the Torah says that it has to be that the Torah describes this mitzvah when you're going to make a dough. So the mitzvah is when you make a dough. We'll differentiate between a dough and a batter. Person makes a dough, that's when the mitzvah applies. Again, the rabbanon is paralleling the deraisa. So it's when your person is mixing a dough, not a batter. However, when you take a batter and you bake it, and the consistency becomes bread-like, you bake a cake has a certain amount of bread-like consistency to it, so then it becomes chayiv. So the difference between the case of a dough and a batter, the mitzvah by dough is as soon as you make the dough, there's a mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. Person has a batter, there's no mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. The person would then bake this into a cake, so then there would be a mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, assuming that you had baked enough to be chayiv in it. So generally the people are making a large sheet cake. A bakery is making a sheet cake. So there, the mitzvah is only for Rosh after they've already baked it. In general, people, it would be very very rare that you're making that amount of batter that you'd be chayiv of. You're having a big pancake party or something like that, you know, like lot like thousands of pancakes, right? So that would be chai once you bake them. And you do the afrosha at that point in time. If a person did the afrosha beforehand, when it was still batter, you're not really yotzei. But you're taking it off again without a bracha, because according to one opinion, you're yotzei, so you take it off again without a bracha. The second, then we go back to, we look at this, it says arisosechem, which means a dough, but it says arisosechem, your dough. What does it mean, your dough? Means like they had in the midbar. The amount of that they had in the midbar was an omer. Each day they got an omer of this, whatever the mon was. And so if you make that amount of dough, that's where you're going to be chayev. So how large was that? So the more it makes the calculation for us, the more it says that it was the equivalent of 43 eggs and a fifth of and one more fifth, 43.2 eggs, a lot of eggs. Okay. Now, by the way, they used to eat one meal in the morning, one meal in the afternoon. So they had 21.6 eggs worth of mon in the morning, 21.6 eggs of mon in the evening, and that was the meal. That was, there's nothing else, but that was the meal. So there is an opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Rav when it talks about Kviya Suda, a person has to eat enough to be chayav for Kviya Suda. He says, yeah, you eat 21.6 eggs worth. That's when Kviya Suda applies. The Magen Rambam says not like that, by the way. We're talking about it relevant to the Isra Pasra Bakistan. A person's eating cake, cookies, large amounts, he has to wash, etc. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says large amounts means 21.6 eggs. So if you're a Chabad, you can like enjoy your lot of cake before you have to wash. We don't paskin like that. We paskin this year is much smaller. So the amount is the amount of eggs it was in the midbar. Now, eggs are not that big. The size of the eggs is not gigantic, so we're not talking about a gigantic amount, but there's going to be a question how large it is. The standard psak that I go with, now there are multiple shitas out there, is once you reduce. Now, the measure over here is a measure of volume. An egg is a measure of volume, not a measure of weight. But the ratio of the transfer from weight to volume theoretically should be standardized, but it's not, especially in the world of the American British system as opposed to the metric system. So the metric system, it's very easy. There's a certain amount of corollary between a gram. A gram is a size of a cc of water at room temperature. So there's a corollary between weight and volume. And, you know, in our system, there's no correlation between anything. But that being said, we're looking at the amount of flour. Going back to my cake example, it has to be that amount of flour. It's not just the total batter, it's the amount of flour which is in there. Besides the water, besides the eggs, and besides the sugar, besides everything else, we're looking at the flour and saying, well, there's enough flour in there, it's chayiv. So how much flour do you have to put in to be chayiv? So basically, a bag of flour is 5 pounds. Half a bag of flour is chayiv you in a frosha skala without a bracha. 2.6 pounds. 2.6 pounds is the shear to be chayiv with a frosha skala without a bracha. If you do less than that, there's no mitzvah frosha skala at all. And if you did it, it doesn't work. A person mentioned to me that, you know, they like doing it because it's like a nice, you know, you get a mitzvah out of it. Well, it's a nice feel, but you don't get a mitzvah out of it. The amount to be chayiv with a bracha basically is the whole bag. It's a little bit less than the whole bag. If you do it in cups, it's about 8 cups of flour. Now, not all flour is created equal. Bread flour is heavier than all-purpose flour. So we're talking about, I'm not talking about wheat flour for now. Whole wheat flour is a different weight than that. So we're really looking at measures of volume, not of weight, but we're sort of trying to, because the bag comes in a weight size. That's why it's bound down to that. But really, the main issue is eight cups is enough to be chayiv. 8 cups of flour is enough to be chayiv without a bracha, and 16 cups would be the share that you want to do to be chayiv with a bracha. A bag usually has about 18 cups in it. Okay, that's the amount. We'll discuss about the situation later on where you made one amount which is less than that amount. You made bread or whatever it is less than that amount. Eventually you made another batch of rolls, whatever it is. And now the combination of the two is the amount. So what are the luchos of combining the two regards? We'll talk about later on. It has to belong to a Jew. It has to be made by a Jew. It has to belong to a Jew. So I go to the store and I buy ready-made dough. Made by a company, says the name of the company is Goya, right? You know, I know it's a great name for a company, right? Only out of New York, only a New Yorker company could come up with something like that. Anyway, so it's made by goyim. It's not chayiv. Let's say we made by a Jewish company, but they had an upper mafresh challah. I would have a chiyuv to be mafresh challah when I buy it. Now I would like to believe the Jewish companies are taking off challah when they're making it, but if it was made by a non-Jewish company, or I buy cakes or cookies which are made by non-Jewish, I go out like, you know, and I buy this major collection of cake or cookies, whatever it is, even though it's a shear, it was made by a non-Jewish company, it's not chayiv. It has to be yours, plural. It could be owned by more than one person. So if two Jews own it together, they both be chayiv. If a Jew and a non-Jew own together, so we say ratios. The Jew owns 40% of the company, so 40% of the dough belongs to the Jew. 40% of the dough is large enough to be a shear, be chayiv. Not a common case. Okay, so that's the basic mitzvah. The basic mitzvah is the way the Torah describes it. It's an iso, which is a dough, or a batter when it becomes like a dough. It belongs. It's when Klai Yisrael is in the land. It's only in Eretz Yisrael. It belongs to the Jew, and the Jew made it, etc. Okay, the Chachamim came along and they expanded beyond those areas, and they addressed a certain amount of other areas. We'll get to those. Now, what do you do with the challah? We'll talk about the process of being mafresh, but also, what do you do with it? So challah creates a status of iser on the dough. I mean, a raisa, challah, which is chayav, it'd be an iser the raisa to eat the dough before you take off. You cannot, prohibition, Torah level prohibition, eating from the dough before you take off challah. In Eretz Yisrael, Min Rabbanan, you have the same status. What about a chutz la'aretz? A chutz la'aretz is actually the mikra, then you're allowed to eat from the dough before you take off the challah. It's such a minimal Rabbanan. You could do that. So but we don't do that. That's minhag is not to do that. But the case where it's relevant is a person forgot to take off challah. The Shabbos morning, they realize, you know, I didn't take off challah from my challahs for Shabbos. So what do you do? So what I should show you, nothing you can do. You can't take off challah on Shabbos. So you can't eat. They can't eat that bread. You go to your neighbor, get some challahs. In chutzlars, you're allowed to eat from the bread. You must leave over enough that after Shabbos you can take off some challah. So you have to have enough leftover bread that you'll take off challah and then have something besides it. You'll have the challah and a remainder. A challah and a shirayim. A challah and a remainder. Right. So the first mention of the concept of shirayim was not by Chassidish Rebbe. It was the halachas of Hafrashas Challah and Hafrashas Truma. The challah itself is also to eat. And what could you do with it? You would have to give it to the kohen. Nowadays, the kohen, a lot of the kohen who's tamei, is not allowed to eat the challah, so we can't give it to the kohen because the kohen is tamei. We don't know who a kohen is for sure. We know people these for sure are considered kohanim, so we don't give it to the kohen. We burn it. How much do you have to take off to fulfill the mitzvah? So the Gemara actually gives midaraisa. You can take off any amount to fulfill the mitzvah. The Chum came along and said, well, the goal over here is to give something to the Kohen to use. I mean, it was man, the basic mikdash was standing, and they had tum and they had tar, and they kept everything correctly. So the Kohen would live on, you know, we get a little bit, my wife's challah dough, and then somebody else's challah dough, you know, and that'd be supper, you know. Mm-hmm. Right? So you give him like this. It's going to be like very, so the Chazal made a shear, how much you have to give. But nowadays we burn it. So why are we burning so much? So the Ramah says, a minute ago, we take off a kazayas. And that's the amount that you burn. When you're mafresh that kazayas, so you should hold on to the piece that you're going to be mafresh with your right hand if you're a righty, with your left hand if you're a lefty, and that's what you're going to do the mitzvah. So like any time you make a bracha on a mitzvah, you want to hold it, but don't pull it off until after the bracha, because that's the moment of hafrosh, is when you pull it off. You want to make the bracha first and then do the mitzvah afterwards. So you hold the part of the dough that you're going to pull off, the kazayas that you're going to pull off, and you make the bracha, and then you pull it off. Not beforehand. When you do that, there's this discussion about this idea of saying harezu challah. Who says harezu challah? Okay. Who doesn't? Okay. There's no halacha that you have to say harezu challah. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch anywhere that you have to say harezu challah. It's not mentioned all in Shulchan Aruch. Where the minhag came from, you'll have to ask historians how it started. There is a minhag that people have, some people have to say it. It's not ma'akev, but the person should be careful when they do it to make sure that they don't say it till they take it off, because you're holding the dough. You haven't taken it off yet. You're holding really the whole dough. Harezu challah is not what you want to say. Right? You want to take it off, then you have this piece in your hand and say, Harezu challah, not that. So make sure that if you do say it, wait till it's out from the rest of the dough.
I have a question.
Yes?
Should the full challah of a dough be covered when you make the bracha?
No requirement of being covered. Okay. Fine. What do you do with it after you have it? So there's the halacha, then you burn it. So you're taking your challah, you mafresh it, and you want to burn it. Where do you burn it? So the halacha that has to be burnt totally. It should be totally charred. Right. So you have an open fire, you have a grill out in the back, you put it onto the coals, and you burn it. Don't put it on the rack, because this is also to eat. So you put it directly on the rack, you're absorbing flavor of this thing, which is also to eat, into your rack. So you put a foil down or something like that. It's preferable to do this open. Why should you do it open as opposed to, because you want it to burn? If it's totally closed in foil, it doesn't really burn well. It doesn't really char well. That being said, can you be baking? So, well, we don't have an open flame, so you put it inside your oven. That's fine. You can put it inside your oven as well. Don't oscillate your oven, because don't put it directly on the rack. Put a piece of foil down, put the dough on top of the foil, and burn it inside your oven. Can you bake anything else in the oven while you're doing this? The answer is you should not. However, if it's totally closed, then you could. But then it doesn't burn, right? So on a practical level, that doesn't really. So if you want to do it inside the oven, you can do it. You should not do it at the same time as you're baking anything else. If you did do it, I've got this question. Well, I put the challah, piece of challah in the oven at the same time as I was baking my bread. The bread is mutter. Biryabi, the bread is mutter, or whatever you're baking in the oven is mutter. But not lechatchila. A person should not be doing the lechatchila at the same time.
What is the reason for separation?
What's the reason for it? There are two reasons for it. One is because there's a concept in halacha of recha milsa, that if it gives out a smell, it's considered something of significance. It's not makir b'diavad. We pass in recha, it's not an issue b'diavad, but not the chachila. So you don't want to do the two things together. That's one reason. There's other reason given also, which depends on the scenario whether it applies or not. One suggestion we do is, you know, if you do a barbecue outside on coals, worst little fashion, after you finish with the barbecue, you stick it on top of the coals and you burn it off on the coals, nice and open. It really burns really great, really geschmack, especially if it's kokosh cake dough, challah.
So, River Engel, you store it in the freezer until you...
Now, I'm going to get to that. So, I actually learned something new when I was preparing the shir. I did not chop this last time. I went through the lochas. You should not store it. You should try and do it right away. The Rangels actually did store it, do store it, and we're going to change that now after going through the halacha. Really, you should try to take care of it as quickly, as soon as possible.
So shouldn't it be saved for burning of chametz?
Correct.
The burning.
Uh-huh. Right. The reason why we burn it, there's multiple reasons why we burn it. One of the reasons why we burn it is because we don't leave it around, because you by mistake use it. Uh-huh. Well, keeping it till Pesach is not a good idea if that's what you want to try and do. Don't keep it around, because you might by mistake use it. That's the whole point. So get rid of it as quickly as possible. So that was something that I learned new this time. I don't know. It didn't hit me last time I learned this. Put that out to my wife today that we're going to have to change the process and we have to figure out how we're going to do this. Okay. Yes.
I also read that it's actually to dummy wrap and discard it that way and throw in the garbage.
Now, after you're finished with the dough, if it's not totally, it's charred to the point that it's not really edible. So if it's totally burnt, it's totally burnt. You don't have to do anything with it. You can, if it's not fully, it's charred to the point where it's not edible anymore. It's that's sufficient. Just double wrap it and throw it out.
And okay. Is it possible to just not burn it and just double wrap it?
Is it possible? So the Achaz Nishma says yes. Most places can say not. So if you have a masara like that, fine. If not, I would not advise somebody to do that. Okay.
You think, Rabbi, you have to burn it before you eat the challah, right?
No.
Do you have to burn it the same day
as
you make the challah?
No, we'd like to just take care of it as quickly as possible, but it's not one that doesn't affect the other. One point I do want to mention on that is in the other direction. So one of the issues of when is the proper time to take off the hafrosh haschal? So you make your big dough, and so then you're going to make it into X, shape it with X amount of loaves of bread, challah, whatever it is. So you mafresh when it's a big dough, when you mafresh after you made all of the loaves, you mafresh it after you bake it. When's the proper time to do it? So with chachkila, we do not, by a case of dough, we do not wait till after it's baked. We want to be mafresh it before you bake it. Good. That being said, the poskim suggest if your way you usually when you're making your the after you made your dough, but then you start shaping it into loaves, you add more flour, you put a flour down, etc. So you end up absorbing more flour into the dough. You want that flour to be included in your frusha as well. You should wait to be mafresh until after you finished shaping all of the loaves. This way, any flour that you added afterwards is included also. Now, there's another way to address that problem of including all that flour is saying when you're mafresh that this hafrosha now is, I'm having intent to include any flour I'm going to add later in the process. But you can't burn the challah until you finish adding all of the flour that you want to add. So that was the question, when should you burn it? So even if you want to do it earlier and say I'm going to include all of the flour added later on, I can do that, but I can't burn it right away. I'm like a Zoraz, and I say, I'm going to go right away and burn it right away. Give it a few minutes. Wait till you finish adding any more flour, and then burn it. Don't burn it before that. If you didn't do that, but yeah, but it's okay, yes. Yes?
If you're waiting till after you shake the loaves, then do all the loaves have to somehow be together when you're doing
okay. I'm going to discuss that issue of togetherness for as a separate section, because togetherness is a very complicated halacha when it comes to challah. Okay. So, but if I don't address the question, you'll ask me. Yes?
If you wait till right before you bake it, you only have to take from one...
You only take from one loaf.
Okay.
All right, and that's for everything. Okay. So that's basically the process. What's chayiv? What type of things are chayiv? So it's only the seven species of grains are chayiv. So you have wheat, you have oats, you have rye, you have spelt, and you have barley. Those five species of grain are going to be chayiv. The mnemonic which people use, remember that, is browse, barley, rye, oats, wheat, spelt. B-R-O, brow, like eyebrows. B-R-O-W-S, right? That's the mnemonic people use to remember that. That's how you remember it also, by the way. Right. If you make a dough of that share out of any one of them, or you make a dough which is a combination of any of them, multiple ones of them, so that's chayiv. If you make different amounts of dough, which each one is not a share, but of different types, that's more complicated. That's this together in this thing, right? Whether whether you can combine them, etc. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Okay, I want to talk about this dough versus batter issue, and then we'll move along. Okay, so we said what's chayiv? The five species. Now, there's one other example which is chayiv. A person mixes rice flour with wheat flour. If the flavor is wheat, it's considered it's chayiv in hafrosha. Even though the majority is rice, if the flavor, you still can taste the wheat flavor, it's chayiv in hafrosha also. The rice becomes like secondary to the wheat. It's like, and you can add the rice into the shear. The rice flour will add up to the shear that you need. So I say, okay, I need 8 cups, and I put 6 cups of rice flour, 2 cups of wheat flour. I have only 2 cups of wheat flour. No, it's chayiv because it's 8 cups, and it tastes. I can still taste the wheat. Not a common, I mean, I don't know whether it's a common case or not, but I've never done it myself, personally. I haven't made challah myself either, but that's a different position. Okay. A person starts with a dough. So the next step is, okay, what are you doing with it? What, you're making a dough out of it. So that's what's chayiv. You make a dough. Let's say you make the dough, and your plan with the dough is not to bake. Your plan with the dough is to boil it. Well, when do you boil dough?
When you make a bagel.
When you make bagels or when you make donuts. I mean, deep fried donuts, you make a dough and then you boil it in this deep fryer. So right. So what's the luck in that situation? Is that chayiv in Hafrashas Chal or not? So that's actually a machlokes. Whether it's chayiv in Hafrashas Chal or not. When you make a dough with intent to cook it as opposed to bake it, it's a machloikas risharinim, it's machloikas in halacha, whether it's going to be chayiv in a fresh eschala, therefore we do it without a bracha. This machloikas, one way to get out of the machloikas is if you take any part of that dough. So you're having a big, you know, Hanukkah party and you're saying, you know, okay, go for it. You make 5 pounds of donut dough, right? You're going to boil boil donuts for the next 3 hours, right? You take one piece of it, that big, I don't care, and you bake it, then it's vareh chayiv. If part of the dough is going to be baked, even though most of it's going to be boiled, but if any part of the dough is going to be baked, that's enough to be chayiv with a bracha. Okay, so you have a shear, enough flour in it, etc. And the issue is, well, you're boiling it, you're baking, you're cooking it, you're not baking it. Well, a little bit's going to be baked. That's enough to be chayav for the whole thing. So that's one way to get out of the machlokes. Let's say you had a dough donut, but a batter donut. So it was a batter to start with, not chayav, and you didn't bake it. You boiled it, so that's not chayav at all. Right, so if you're making a cake donut, which means you're making a batter first, and then you're making donuts with batter, as opposed to, and then you're making donuts and you're boiling them, but it's a batter which is being boiled, so that's not chayiv. So you make an eidlach, right? So it's somewhere between a dough and a batter type of consistency, but you boil it. That's not chayiv. And if you make a shear, again, we're still talking about if you make enough to be worried about it, but make a lot of kenedlach. This machlokes, by the way, has ramifications in halacha and in other areas as well. You're all familiar with the concept called pasav abekistin. If you have bread like mazonos, so the bracha is mazonos, cake, kokosh cake, donuts, the bracha is mazonos. What if you eat a lot of it? What happens then? So there's a halacha called kriya suda. If you eat a certain amount of this cake, so now this becomes the bracha is, you wash your hands, you say alnatil shidayim, you say hamoitzi, and you bench. It's bread. Now, I want to explain that before we go to the next step. I want to explain that deserves a whole share on its own. The phrase is called pasav abekistin. That's what how Chazal is. Pas means bread, which is used not like regular bread. So it's not that we took mazonos and we made it into bread. It's all the way around. Really, it's bread. And since you're eating it not the way you normally eat bread, in other words, not as a meal, therefore it downgrades its status. When you put it back to eating it like bread, it goes back to the regular status of all bread. That's the logic behind this idea. Okay, it's not like this magic, you could take mazonos and make it into bread. Because I look at the other way around. This is really bread. This is pas. But since you eat it not like bread, you eat it like a snack as opposed to bread, which is made to be a meal. How do you do that? Because you add in these spices, or you make it, you know, very crumbly, or whatever this criteria is, that you've changed this from bread to downgrade it to be more like a snack. So you make a mazonos and you don't say alamichi afterwards. If you eat like a meal, okay, so that is bread. What about donuts? What's the status of donuts in regards to this issue? You didn't make them, you boiled them. Well, according to the opinion that it's chayiv and challah, because it's bread. So if you have this big amount of donuts, right? So you'd be chayiv to wash at the bench. According to the opinion that it's not chayiv and challah, it's not bread. So you can eat as much as you want. You can eat like 75 donuts, you still don't have the bench. Right? You might be sick, but you still don't have the bench. Right? So the Shulchan Aruch says, what do you do? Well, if you're going to eat a large amount of that, what do? Right? Your kid's going to have like 6 donuts. Like, you should wash that other bread and only eat it in the meal, because otherwise you have a sabak bracha. So if you're going to have like these, you make a dough donut, and then you fry them, deep fry them, and somebody's going to be eating a lot of them, which, you know, they're fresh, they're very addictive, right? Don't eat too many of them, because you eat too many of them, you are getting involved with this mechloikis, whether the bracha chord is alamichir or benching. Because according to one opinion, it's a meal. This is bread, which you just made, and you have to bench. According to one opinion, no. How much did you eat? For example, noodles. Right? A person sits down and he has a portion of noodles like this. He doesn't bench. Noodles aren't bread. Even though they're a dough, but you don't you process them by sun drying them and then you boil them. So they never get the status of bread. You can have your piece of shalom kugel like this big. You don't have to bench. But you have kokosh cake that big, you'd have to bench. I had a chaver and tells the lunches on Friday afternoons was leftovers from the whole week. And the yeshiva had rachmanis, they put out some of the shalshutas cake, they put out also. So he would walk in and go straight to the cake, take a plate of cake like this, wash his hands, say Alatiz Yadayim, say Hamotzi, and bench. And that was lunch every Friday by him. That was standard lunch by him. He probably did it because it was like really geschmack to be able to like wash and bench on cake. But I mean, it was a plate of cake like this, So the Shama Kugel is not going to have that status. Donuts are this complicated issue. Batter donuts, not an issue. Batter donuts, eat as much as you want. Again, I'm not getting involved in health issues. That you'll have to do. Right? It's not good for your arteries. But okay, so that this issue by the halachas of chala plays itself out in the halachas of pasul b'kisnan. This halacha, the same way we say, okay, now you had a batter and you bake it into it has a bread like consistency. Now it's bread. Let's say it's a batter and you bake it very thin, like a wafer. So it's so thin that it just like pours out over a large area, etc. And so that never becomes a bread. So that's not chayiv. So a person would be making crepes. The amount of crepes, you'd have to have enough flour to be chayiv. It would be a large amount of crepes. But a person making blintzes, you're making blintzes for this major party over here, like blintzes and blintzes and blintzes. They'd never be chayiv because if you could sit down and eat a lot of blintzes, you're not going to be chayiv because it's so thin, it's not considered bread-like. Pancakes are considered bread-like. So I never called the idea of washing on pancakes until we went to a restaurant in Muncie, I don't know how many years ago this was, and Chana Bracha ordered pancakes. So they said, well, how many? You get three pancakes. So I pictured like three pancakes. It was three pancakes. Each one was the size of a plate. It was yay high. Like, it was like, what human being could eat this? But you'd have to wash for that. That's enough pancakes. Now, you're frying them. Frying it on a pan with just enough oil that it shouldn't burn, that's not called boiling. That's called baking. It's deep, that's why I keep saying deep frying is called boiling. So deep frying the donuts is called boiling them. You have the lot of oil, but if you just put a small amount of oil on the bottom of the pan and it shouldn't burn, that in halacha, that's considered baking. So they're pancakes. That's exactly what they are. They are cakes which you made on a pan. But they have a halacha of bread-like consistency, and the bracha would be, if you have enough of them, the bracha would be hamotzi and benching. And that was that scenario that played out. And I never dreamt of having that situation. But definitely a teenage boy could do that very easily. Yeah.
So
yes.
She thought that she was going to eat all of it, but then she got full after one pancake. What does she do for the bracha?
Okay, so the shear of Kviya Suda, this is not a shear of a possible Pakistan, but the shear of Kviya Suda, the Bir Aloha comes out, we use our constituencies. So we look at elderly people different than a male adult in his prime, and we look at teenage human beings like as a different group because they are for many reasons, right? Those of you have been the teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who have teenagers, you really know what I'm talking about. We look at each group, the male, female, differently because their groups are different. So if for somebody her age that would be considered a normal meal, she would bench, even though she expected to be able to eat more because your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Okay. If a person made a dough, and they plan to bake the dough, and they say, you know what, this is actually a great dough to make donuts out of, and you end up boiling it, you're chayiv. Because when you made the dough, it was a dough, and you plan to bake it, the fact that you change your mind afterwards does not take away the chiv. Let's say a person makes a dough, so we're talking about what types of doughs are chayiv. A person makes a dough which has no water in it. You make a dough with fruit juice. apple juice, orange juice. So now, reconstituted apple juice, is called water. Right? Reconstituted orange juice, for those of a certain age, there's something, orange juice should come in cans. And you would actually add water to it, and that water, even though, you're just putting back the water you took out. No, that's considered adding water. So that's water. But who's heard of mazonos rolls? Right? Everybody heard of mazonos rolls. By the way, there's no such thing as mazonos rolls in halacha. But okay, come on. But those, the people who believe that there is, one of the ways they argue that it is because they make it with apple juice and no water. They make it with apple juice and no water. That's one of the arguments why it's considered mazonos. Why? Because it adds a flavor to it. Now, do you taste the flavor of the apple juice? Vote over here? No. But they decide that it does. And that's why they hold it to mutter. It's putter from hamotzi, etc. Let's say you believe that. They're making this dough with apple juice. So what is the status of dough made with apple juice? It is a machloikus. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, we don't want you doing this. Because we're going to be machra and give it a status of that you have to take up challah. Now, what do you do with the challah? I'll burn it. You're not allowed to burn challah which is torn. You're allowed to burn challah which is tome. Food, those of you familiar with the pasuk says that food is only makabel tumah, only accepts tumah if it's been mukshar, it's had one of the liquids which make it ready to accept tumah. Water, olive oil, wine / grape juice, bees honey, milk. You can't make milk with good bread. You can make milk with cakes as long as there's a simon the way it's made that it's obvious. Fruit juices are not considered a mashka in the Torah's level. So you take your kernels of wheat and you dip them in fruit juice, and then somebody's tummy touches the wheat. The wheat is not tummy. It goes into water and then it dries off. It's totally dry right now, but it's been in water one point in time in the process that it accepts tumah. So it's not tummy. You can't burn it. So Shulchan Aruch says, what are you going to do with this? So what do you do with it? Now the truth is that it depends. Nowadays flour, why do we sell flour for Pesach? Why do we sell flour for Pesach? It's what's the difference between Pesach and flour and not Pesach and flour? I'm not talking about you make it and you let it rise. That's chometz. But what's wrong with the flour? Mm-hmm. Flour is actually they use water in the process of washing out the kernels and the process as they're making the flour. So it's been wet already with water. Okay, that's not a problem. Whole wheat is not like that. So if you want to make a wheat dough with the fruit juice, no problem. Shulchan Aruch would say that's okay. You want to make a whole wheat dough or spelt is not washed and water is not used in the process of making it. Spelt flour or whole wheat flour, you should not make it without any water. You have to put a little water in. So why do we sell our flour for Pesach? Because it's wheat flour, it has been wetted. I guess that's the word, right? Wetted, right? My English grammarians help me over here. Yes, whatever. Okay, if you don't know either, I don't feel so bad. So once water's been put on wheat, we're worried about chometz. There's potential for chometz that the water with the flour eventually became chometz. So that's why it's not such an issue. But spelt doesn't have that. They don't. That's not how they process spelt.
What about mazonos bread? What is that?
The same mazonos bread, they make it, the way they make it, the ones which they make, which they call the mazonos rolls that they sell, etc., those type of things, are made basically like a regular dough, but they use apple juice instead of water. But I'm saying that's not a problem because the flour had been, unless you're getting a whole wheat mazonos roll. Now, how does it work in the halacha? Why is it considered mazonos? I don't consider it mazonos. I think the bracha is hamotzi, and that's a different share. Let's say you did do it, so there's an interesting din. You give it to a kohen who's a katan. Because the halacha is that since it's chalas chutz la'aretz, so we said one kulon chalas chutz la'aretz is you're allowed to eat it before your mafrish. The second kulon chalas chutz la'aretz is the halacha is that you can give it to a kohen. Every kohen is tummy. There's too much mace all over the place, etc. Mace one time came into a building, So everything in the building became tomei. So now, so the metal in the building becomes tomei. You touch it, you become tomei. That's it. You know, a person one time went to Levaya. He sat in the room with the mace. That's it. We can't. You need a paraduma to remove that. You're tomei. You touch something else, it becomes tomei. So it's. But the law is that the regards to eating challah, which is not tomei. Normally challah is tomei, because I touched it, I'm tomei. It was mukshir, but it wasn't mukshir because it was fruit juice. So I made one with spelt, right? So what do I do with it? It's not tomei, because even when I touch it, it doesn't make it tomei, because it never had water on it yet. So a kohen who has not had tumah, which came out of his body, he wasn't old enough to have those issues of tumah, he's allowed to eat it, as long as we know for sure he's a kohen. So who's a kohen? Well, we have a meyichus. Some kohanim have a clear masoro that they're kohanim. The shach's last name was Rappaport. The shach had a letter. We have a copies of the letter. All the generations back to Aaron HaKohen. He can name all the generations back from the shach all the way back to Aaron HaKohen. So any person who's a Rappaport is considered a muchzik as a vadai kohen. There's Kedush Rappaports, there's the literal Rappaports, all the Rappaports, but they have a vadai yichus. So you're looking for somebody to use for your pit and a ben. You should use a Rappaport. Rabbi Velvel Rosen in Baltimore, Zichle Bracha, he had a yichus. He had a yichus brief back to Aaron HaKohen. They had the name every single generation back, so they know for sure he's a Kohen. It was destroyed during the war, and which was like very, very painful for him. But he has Adim, people who had seen it, were able to testify that they actually saw it in Europe. So he's considered Kohen Meyuchas. So you give it to Kohen Meyuchas. Who's a cotton? You find a little Rappaport running around, say, here, Mr. Little Rappaport, here, have some challah, and he has a great time. Like, what's going on over here? Okay. So I'm making this shear of challah, and what am I doing with it? So I'm making it the simplest case. I'm making a large amount of challah for Shabbos. I have a lot of guests coming. I make five pounds of flour, and I make my challahs. So I'm on for today. You know what? I don't need that much challah for now. I'll make the dough, and I'll put half of the dough away in the freezer, and I'll take it out next week. So I'm dividing my dough. So I'm not using the whole dough one shot, but it's all for me. So the fact that I'm doing some now and some later, yes, you're still mafresh, and you're mafresh with the bracha. Okay, let's say I'm making it to give away to people. Now I'm going to give this dough away. I'm a teacher. I'm a first grader. We're going to teach the kids how to be mafresh challah. So I make this big dough. I come to class. Each kid gets their little amount of dough, and they make their little challah, and they bake it, and everybody's very happy, etc. So the halacha is you're not chayav in challah, because you're making the dough to give it away amongst multiple people. Now, you should ask me a very good question. Well, what about the baker and the bakery? He bakes it first before he gives it away. So if you bake it first in school and you give each kid their challah, that would be chayiv. But if you give each one their dough and they take it home and they bake it at home, because it's like really fun to bring it home and bake it at home, etc., you're mechalik it before you, when it's still an iso, when it's still a dough, so it's not chayiv. Now, there's a sheet that says yes, so we take off without a bracha. So you want to teach kids how to make a bracha, that's not a good example how to do it. The way to do it is you bring in your own dough, which you're going to use for yourself, and be mafresh of the bracha, and show the kids how to do it. But don't give each one their dough, because... Now, there's an opinion that says even if you bake it first, if you gave each one their dough before you bake it, each kid gets their dough, and then we go to the oven, we put it in, you know, little Yankelas, you know, challah, and he bakes it, and then, you know, then Shlomo bakes it, even though they baked it before they took it home, but you already divided it before you baked it, also not chayav. Yes?
If I'm going to do challah bakes on campus with girls, I'll bring the challah already made. I'll just have a big bowl, and we'll say what the heck. Probably it's okay is to say the bracha that touches challah, the dough's all together still. Say the bracha, and then give out the dough, and then we bake it in our oven that we have.
They, what happens to it afterwards?
Then they take it. Then it's theirs.
Yeah, so you should not make a bracha.
Is there any way to do it that we would be able to make? Meaning, I guess just listening to what was said, there isn't a way to...
No.
Well, some people buy this Knesset challah that's frozen, that's unbaked, and then they bake it at home. But what is that?
So now, so So it says chal genumen. It says chal genumen. You know, right? So what does that mean, chal genumen? It was made to apportion it with Israel ki of chal. So by baker, there's an interesting halacha that he is chayiv even though he's going to portion it out. The reasons why I'm not going to get involved in, but the bakery, a bakery situation is different than a home situation. So,
Rabbi Rangel, I made 10 pounds of challah dough and gave some away, but I still had more than 5 pounds.
Well, that's for sure good. That's for sure. That's for sure good. That's not a problem.
That's not a problem.
Right. But the question is, the example, let's say you have this, you know, Bubby, every week she makes, you know, like 5 pounds of challah, and she gives to her Yankala who lives down the block, and her Mirla who lives on the other side of town. You know, they all come every Shabbos and they get their fresh challahs from Bubby to take home for Shabbos. So she's making this dough to give out to all the kids, all of the children. So she bakes them first, and then she gives them away. It's not a problem. If she would designate before, she'd go, well, this is Yankala's, because Yankala likes it. That's more, much more problematic. Even though you baked it at home, but you divided up the doughs before you baked it, don't do that. Bake everything and then say, oh, this is the Yanko likes a certain shape. He likes it a little lumpy, you know. So then goes, give it to Yanko, you know. But don't do that before and do it afterwards.
So how would you make, the, let's say, 10 or 15 pounds and then keep 5 pounds for myself?
Oh, that you could do, right? You have a lot, you're going to end up with a lot of challah.
Okay. Wait, do you take it but not say the bracha in that case? I'm confused.
We take it without a bracha. We do it without a bracha.
Okay, so right. Like even for the kids, but like
even the
not
kids,
saying right. Bracha.
Right, so we say if we would be fine, we would say a bracha. Like, you know, like it's a good, really good way of teaching them how to make a bracha. Yeah.
Okay. If you save it for yourself, does it make a difference if you put it in the freezer raw or cooked on?
No difference, no. Either way. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch points out that the person says, you know, what do I need this whole tzara making a fresh challah? I'll make very small doughs, and I need a lot, but I'll do it in separate batches, and I'll, you know, keep them separate, you know, etc. This way I won't be chayiv. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to try and be mafki yourself from the mitzvah by specifically making it in such a way that you're not going to do the mitzvah. You have an opportunity to do the mitzvah, you should do the mitzvah. Okay. Now, so we have a situation where you did make. I made one Erev Shabbos. I made, you know, just I just had a small group. You know, I made some rolls. I put in the freezer. Next week, I made some more rolls. Put in the same bag in the freezer. And you know, next thing I know, after a few weeks, I have a lot of rolls. I said, "Wow, I have so many rolls over here. There's probably a shear." Together, there's going to be a shear, even though each one by itself wasn't a shear. But now together, there's a shear which will be chayiv. So the luck is that it's chayiv now. You could be mitzvah, they can be mitzvah together, the multiple amounts to be chayiv. So similarly, if a person makes multiple doughs and they would, you know, would put them in a container together, so they're going to be chayiv. However, this halacha of the chayiv, there has to be a process which works to allow us to make it them to combine together. So we need to figure out what is a valid process to combine them together. So, valid process number one. Point number one is they both belong to me. So that's it. Has to, if they don't both belong to me, it's not going to work. They both belong to me. Good. I don't mind mixing them together. They're both cookies. They're both cake. They're both challahs. I don't mind mixing them together. Let's say one is spelt, and I need, you know, just because, you know, so and so needs spelt, and this is wheat, and he needs wheat. Then they're not going to combine because I don't want them to combine. Even though they're together, but I don't want them. I want to keep them distinct and separate. I don't mind them mixing together. I don't mind that they're mixing together. So let's say I would make 2 pounds of kokosh cake dough. Not I, but my wife would, right? And then 2 pounds of bread dough, challah dough. So we want to keep them separate. I don't want my kokosh cake being. Now you might want your kalteh the kokosh cake. Okay. But let's assume that most people would not want to do that. I want the kokosh cake to be distinct. I want the challah to be distinct. That's not going to be mitzvah. But if they're rolls. You know, I don't mind. You know, they're basically the same thing. So what's the difference to me? Number one, if it's still a situation where they're dough, and I put them together on the table, and they touch. And they touch so well that when I pull one, a little bit of the dough for the other one comes with. It's called neshicha. It bites, literally. It's biting out of the other one. That's mitzaref. That's scenario number one. So I've met my criteria. I want them to combine. They belong to me, and I'm going to connect them, physically connect them to the point of one pulls from the other. They're really connected. That's mitzuruf. Let's say I don't do that. They're not sitting. So even though there's nothing holding them, they're sitting on a flat surface. They connected. Let's say they're not touching like that. But if they're in a container together, they're in a bowl. They're in a large bowl together. They're a large basket together. So the example of the person, you know, I get shalach manis. So I get a lot of, we get a lot of shalach manis. So we have this big basket and we start throwing, you know, this thing, you know, but this neighbor made this, you know, next thing you know, like I got a basket worth of mazarnis in my shalach manis. Now I really couldn't care less, you know, whether the chocolate chip cookies are distinct from the vanilla cookies, you know, it's all the same to me, right? I don't mind them being mazarnis. So the basket will hold it, we'll make it one. Now it's chayiv and a fresh eschalah. I stick it on the shelf in the freezer. I don't mind that they should become one. So Rosh Sternberg says a freezer is mitzarif. It's like a kli. It's mitzarif together. Well, what about the fact that they're in separate bags? Does that change anything? So Rabbi Yasha said no, because the purpose of the bag is just to protect the item. It shouldn't dry out, etc. It's not to keep it distinct and separate. If I would keep it as a bag specifically because I wanted this is the, you know, this type of thing, that's that type of thing, I'm using the bags to keep them distinct and separate, then I'd be potter. But if the bags are there just to protect them, they shouldn't dry out, they are bottled to the, and this the shelf of the freezer combines it all. So I take all my mezarnas from my shalach manos, I stick it on the shelf of my freezer, I now have a shear of challah. I'm chayiv and a fresh challah.
How do you know the person that gave it to you didn't already take challah when they baked all their food?
Now you don't know that, you know. So you can, you know, that's a good question. You're not sure whether that's true. But a lot of people, the amount that they make is, I mean, depending on how.
It depends
who it is, right? You know. So you know, some people make large amount of challah for shalach manis. Somebody that I know does that, yeah. Like 150 something like that, whatever the number is, you know. Yeah, so she's giving out for shalach, but each time she makes it. But if it's you know, people which are giving out small amounts, they probably weren't nafresh. Now it all comes together and I would have a dinner seer of kli. So the second option is it's in the kli together. Let's say it's in this basket and it's somewhat sticking above the basket. It's not that part is not mitzuruf. It has to be in the basket. I can cover the basket over with something else, and that would also work. Now let's go to the sheet thing, the towel thing, right? You cover the all the challahs with a towel. That doesn't work. But if you would have a sheet underneath which you fold over on the top, that would work. That's its equivalent of a basket. So I put my big sheet on the table, put all the things on in that, and I wrap it up, and I put it into the freezer. This big nylon, you know, take this plastic tablecloth, lay it down on the table, put all the junk in there, all of these, you know, the zaynus from that, you know, from shalach manis, and I roll it up on top and I tie it up. Tzir of kli. I just combined it all together. So that those would be different options of how to do tzir of kli in a case where a set of things which are not chayiv. Which are not chayiv, what can you do to bring them together to be mechayiv them? So we gave three options. Any one of those would be mechayiv, bring together. Again, all in the condition I don't mind them mixing together. So if I would have spelt flour and wheat flour, which I don't want to mix together, that wouldn't be true. So I have my spelt rolls on one side of the freezer shelf, and I have wheat rolls right next to it. They're in the same shelf, but I don't want them to connect, so that's not going to be connected. Somebody had a question. Yeah.
Okay, so cookies that were made, was it chocolate chip cookies, that were made in batches and stuck in the freezer.
Right.
Together. So let's say there was 5 pounds.
Eventually.
Let's say.
Right.
Like,
so now it's chayiv.
So with a bracha?
With a bracha.
So you take out with a bracha.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, what about if you separate them? Should you separate them? Let's see. Is that.
No,
I'm saying that to Rangel said not to avoid doing a fresh challah, but
right. I mean, I can, if I have different freezers, I have different freezers. And I end up, but I shouldn't, but I could keep them separate. But if I end up putting them in freezers, that nothing's connecting them. Okay, now let's say the next scenario is that what I started was chayiv in challah. You know, I made my challahs, and they're chayiv. But I forgot to be mafresh, and I stuck them in the freezer, and some in the new freezer, some in the old freezer. They're different places, etc. And I didn't do a fresh chalas. I take one out, and I'm mafresh on it. Mikra that I do not need to take all the rest of them out, since it's from the same dough. They're made together, and they were chayiv. From the same dough, they're made together, and they're chayiv. I can be mafresh on one for all of them. There's a mile and a look of doing it, having everything there. So if I want, I want to get that extra mile, I bring them out, and that's where you have your towel. You combine it all together to make, but it's not required. It's not ma'akev. It's just a mila, and it only works in that scenario where you're not really chayiv. So that's what the towel thing comes in. That's scenario number two. It's already chayiv. And I divided them up into different portions. I put them in different places, so I don't need them to be in the same kli. I don't need tzir kli, because that tzir kli is taking something which was potter and making it chayiv. Here it's chayiv to start with. I have a new issue. There's a milo being mafresh that I should have everything in front of me when I'm being mafresh. Okay, so, it's not ma'akev. Third scenario is in a case where I made one dough, which is chayiv. And then I made another dough, which is chayiv. So I said, the halacha is you can be mafresh on one for both. So what do you need over there? You do not need them to touch. They can be in containers as long as the containers are open. But they should be in front of you. Or in the same room, at least, Mishnah Berurah says. So then I can be mafresh on one for everything else. Again, the scenario number two I gave you was one dough, which was made together. So they were all in this together. And now they're separate. They remain together. This scenario was each dough was made separately, and it's each one is chayiv on their own. But I can use one afrusha for both. For that, what I require is preferably they should be together on the table in front of me, and the container should be open. It's not ma'akev b'dyavad, but you should. That's there's a lach of mitzvah to do it. Mean hamuk if they should be next to each other. Next to each other means they should be right together. So both on the table, not touching, and if they have them touch, because each one's chayiv. Now, what about the fourth scenario? One dough was chayiv, one dough was potter. I made a dough of 5 pounds, I made a dough of 2 pounds. Things that I don't mind mixing together, right? So I put them both on the table, the same thing. Now this dough, this 2 pound dough, gets to join with the 5 pound dough and be chayiv. So if I put them both on the table together, in front of me, both open, I can be mafresh from the one which is chayiv for both of them. Okay. Did I answer your question?
I think so.
Okay. I don't remember exactly what the question was. That's why I'm asking. Sure. Okay.
Remember, Angle?
Yes.
If you're doing a day of like stacking up your freezer, okay, and you're like doing lots of baking, should you wait until you finish baking everything and then just take off?
No. Because there's a mile of, we don't bake until you do mafresh. And something which is a dough.
Yeah.
Something which is a dough, we want you to be mafresh before you bake. So if you make enough which is chayiv, you make enough dough which is chayiv, so then you should be mafresh. Let's say you made batches, each one which is not enough to be chayiv, then you wait till the end of the day and you're mafresh everything.
I'm a little bit confused between dough and batter.
Batters pour, doughs don't.
Okay, then.
Okay. Yeah.
What if you have one dough that's wheat and one dough that is not wheat or any of the 5 grains?
Then,
but can you put it together with the wheat dough? And then
no, it has no dinim on it.
Nothing.
Nothing. It's
what if it's got a certain amount of oat flour, but if it's like not, it's like more than 50%?
More than 50%?
Oat flour.
So that'd be chayiv. I mean, if it's not a shear.
But it's not a shear. I mean, it's a very small amount.
So total. The luck is that wheat and oats are not mitzdarif. If you mix, you actually make one dough, they're mitzdarif together. But if it's just distinct doughs, wheat and oats are not mitzdarif. So wheat and spelt is. The halacha recognizes the idea that the American government said that spelt is a type of wheat. So you get by spelt nuts, it says, the warning contains wheat. What wheat? It says spelt on it. Because the Congress Paskin that spelt is wheat. Well, it's a Gemara. The Morse says that spelt is wheat. The Morse says spelt is actually also, spelt can actually combine with rye or with oats or barley also. It's a very universal type of a thing. It has no flavor to it, come out. That's why.
So is this only kind of things that you made yourself? Or like, because you said like it could be like from Shalakmata, so like.
As long as it's made by a Jew. As long as it's made by a Jew. So if I get one, something was made by a Jew, and now I own it, and I got enough made by a Jew together, so be chayiv.
Like if I have, like, something,
like,
whatever requires over time,
I freeze it,
not homemade. Like.
Well, if it's from the store, we assume that the bakery took off. Yeah, that's not a, we assume the bakery took off. That's part of the job of the mashkiach to make sure that that happens. Okay, let's say you want to make a shliach to be mafresh the challah for you. You know, you made a dough. You have to run out. So you want to, so anybody who's an adult would be able to do that. You know, your teenage daughter, can you please take be mafresh challah? They could do that for you. There's a minute we don't bake until you're mafresh. Now, if a dough is rising and rising and rising and rising, eventually it'll sour. How do you stop from rising? You bake it. But you're not supposed to bake it until you've been mafresh. But the Baal HaBos is not home. So can I take off for her? So the husband really is the owner. He can take off. Let's say it's a neighbor. And the neighbor says, oh my gosh, this dough is like so big. I got to stick in the oven for her. But I have to be mafresh. She wasn't mafresh yet. So I can be mafresh for her without, even though she's not appointed me as a shliach, it's considered a schus to be mafresh for her. I can be mafresh for her. The Shulchan Aruch says I can be mafresh for her, even though she did not appoint me for that purpose. Okay. One or two more points, which long back earlier, I didn't realize I didn't cover. Okay. The chachil, you should say the bracha standing. You should do the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah standing. We mentioned it with the right hands, or if you're lefty, with the left hand. You should say it standing. What is the nitzuch of the bracha? So, ladies, what do you say? The hafrish? The hafrish chal minayisa. Shulchan Aruch does not mention the words minayisa. It's not found in Shulchan Aruch. Not found in Shulchan Aruch or Shach or Taz. It's a minig with ladies got from somewhere. I have no idea where. But I do want to point out, in the case of you being mafresh after it's baked, the bracha is l'hafresh challah. So for example, when I go to bake matzahs, so matzahs, we're only mafresh after they're baked. Even though it's a dough, but we don't want to slow down the process anywhere and have this piece of dough. You can't put it in there while you're baking the matzah. So what do you do with this piece of dough, which you were mafresh, which is rising in your matzah bakery? Not a good idea, right? We don't want comments there. So you bake all of the matzahs, the 18 minutes worth of matzahs, you put it into a big wire basket, and then you're mafresh. The bracha is l'hafresh challah. Not minisa, because there's no dough anymore. So in the situation where you're being mafresh, if you forgot to mafresh beforehand, that's clear that the bracha is not minisa. The minig is the same minisa. Many people have that minig. It's acceptable. But the ikar bracha does not require the words minisa. The bracha is l'hafresh challah. There's actually a bracha l'hafresh truma. According to some opinions, the Kuntar calls challah truma. And there's actually one opinion in halacha says the bracha is l'hafresh shumas challah. Challah truma. Challah truma. Okay, I think I've covered everything that I want to cover. Just give me one second to make sure. Yeah, we're good. Okay.
There is things to say after the. If I saw that somebody gave me to Israel.
Yeah, they have these tefillahs to say afterwards. So like this, there is a Yehi Ratzon to say, which is wisdom, which. Okay, there is one Yehi Ratzon which is Mikra Din. How many ladies count Sira? Okay. What do you say after Sira Sarber? What do you say? Why do we say that after Sira Sarber? Because the rice of the mitzvah Sira Sarber only applies when you brought the Karman Omer. So we just did a mitzvah Rabbanan. We daven, we should be zakeh to do a mitzvah Raisa. The basic mitzvah should be rebuilt. We'll bring the Karman Omer, and then Sira Sarber will be the Raisa. So that's why we have that tefillah over there. Challah is the Rabbanan, because we don't have Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So we're davening when we mafresh the challah, we should be zaycha to do it at the right level. We should basically, this comes back, all Klal Yisrael goes back to Eretz Yisrael. We're in Eretz Yisrael, and now it's the Raisa. So there's a tefillah that we say that's brought down Mikra, then you should say that tefillah after. It's ask you mentioned the notosis. But the only Yeratzin is about the things that, you know, the Siyat HaShemaya, whatever you want to say is fine. You know, it's brought down in the concept in Halacha, but when a person does a mitzvah has a power of being malamed schus to the person in Shemayim. So it's a moment of tefillah where you can use an opportunity for tefillah. So we daven by Halacha's Neiris. You daven by some people daven by a Prussian scholar. After benching, what are the rachamim after benching for? You just did a mitzvah benching. So you can say, Harachman, Baruch Hashem, please do X, Y, and Z for me. So the moment of doing a mitzvah is a moment of a skula of Siyata Dishmaya, so you can say tefillahs, but it's not required. You can say whatever you want. You can make up your own nusach. You don't have to follow the nusach which is there. But you can. But yes, it's the concept makes sense, but it's not required. But the hiratzen that you want to make a mikdash, that really is mentioned already in the Tosis that you should do, because we want to get back to doing this mitzvah deraisa. Yeah.
Well, what's the amount that I don't remember? I've heard different things over the years, from a small little piece to a nice amount.
The shear is a kazayas. The remorse is the minig is the shear is a kazayas. Now, how big is a kazayas? So I mentioned this in the shear 6 years ago, for those of you who remember. How big is a kazayas? Who remembers? So my Rebbe taught me that if you picture, you go into the Newark bakery and you buy a 2-pound loaf of rye bread, right? Picture that? Those of you can picture that? Never saw you. Like, when bakeries make a rye bread, a 2-pound loaf, it's like small in the sides, ends, bigger in the middle. Right. Take a slice out of the middle, cut it in half. That's the volume of a kazayas. Not very big. That's the volume that you want, the chadchila, when you take any amount, meeker than any amount is sufficient. But it's, you make a handful, basically a handful is going to be a kazayas. By the way, while I'm talking about that, a full slice is a kebeya. Half a slice is a kazayas. A kebeya is double a kazayas. Why is it relevant? The Mishavur passage, you only make the bracha of Al Tils Yadayim if you're planning to eat a kebeya. If you're planning to eat less than a kebeya, you wash. Eating a kazayas, you have to wash, but no bracha, Al Tils Yadayim. If you're eating a kebeya, not no chalav. Right, kids sitting down, you know, you're sitting down to supper, you know, I'm having half a slice of bread. Okay, having a new diet, half a slice of bread. You'd wash, but you'd not say Al Tils Yadayim. So let's say a person has health issues and he eats a very small spelt roll, which is a kazayas for his Shabbos Suda. He washes, but he does not make a bracha. I'm talking from experience over here. Right, so I'm on this diet now because of my health issues. So I wash, but I don't make a bracha on my Tils Yadayim because I only need a kazayas. Now, you should a kebeya for Shabbos Suda, by the way. According to the Taz, you should a kebeya, not a kazayas. But under my circumstances, I'm being semi on the sheet that the kazayas is sufficient. So eating it now, but what is relevant, I just want to point out, when a little kid washes, you know, you have the kids, you have to wash for supper. Our family, everybody washes for supper. So the kid like takes like this little piece of bread in the middle. Because they, you know, mommy said, see, they said Al Tils Yadayim, they said Hamotzi, and they bench. You can't bench unless it's a kazayas. You don't say Al Tils Yadayim unless it's a kazayas. The halacha, the hamotzi part is all of the food is only if you eat a kazayas. So, you know, they had potatoes and they had meat and they had chicken and they had, you know, some cranberry sauce, you know, they had this whole, and well, I said hamotzi, but you need a kazayas, kid. You need a piece of bread this big. So it's a mess. You know, if the kid doesn't want to eat bread, don't make him eat bread. There was a school I knew of that they had a policy, every kid has to wash for lunch because they're all going to bench together. I think it's a horrible policy, because what the kids would take a poke, they call it a poke, you know, you need to take a poke of bread. So they said on Tisadam what they shouldn't have said, they benched where they shouldn't have done that, they didn't say brachas on any of the food that they ate besides that. So it was a great kinuch opportunity, which was messed up. All right, don't do that. Okay. Thank you, ladies. Sebastian, next year is, again, January 29th. The topic is Hilchos Lashon Hara for Shidduch purposes.